Sign it the first time. I wrote all my position.
Oh, yeah. We got moved on, Jeff.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. And we'll call to order. I believe we have a quorum here this afternoon, so we can call the meeting to order here at about 2:15. And just for the record, maybe if we can just go around the room and start with Jeff and just give us your name for the record, just so we know you're here.
Sure. Jeff Canizzo from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders.
Howard Nolan, appointee of the Speaker of the Assembly.
John Graziano, appointee from the Assembly Minority.
Bill?
I guess it's me. Joe McMahon, the Senate Republican appointee.
Bill Wilmot, Senate Democrats.
Okay, so with that, we've established we've got a quorum. So we'll move to the first item on the agenda. I think everybody's got the agenda in front of them. The first item on the agenda is approving of the minutes from the January 18th meeting. Anybody have any comments or anything they want to add to the minutes? If not, if we could have a motion.
So second.
Second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next item on the agenda is approval of the year-end financials for January, February, and March as well. I guess at this point I'll call on Tracy to elaborate on that.
Yes, some of you may have noticed that we redid the financials. Originally we put it up in comparison to our proposed budget for this year, and a couple of members pointed out that it was confusing because the first quarter of our year is unusual in that there's no racing at the Finger Lakes, so there's not revenue coming from the Finger Lakes, nor are we giving out awards based on the Finger Lakes. So we ended up comparing March of year-to-date March 2013 to year-to-date March of 2012 to give you, I think, a better picture of what's happening. And you'll notice the decline in handle, in large part, the decline in handle at NYRA is because they had five fewer days of racing because, they remember, they shortened the meet, and they also had to cancel 8 days because of weather. So 9 times 13 is a lot of races that were canceled, and therefore the Breeders' Awards show a marked decline. There was a slight increase in open owner awards, and I did not do a study of this, but I believe it's because they ran open races trying to fill fields, and at the lower level, New York breds and out-of-state sired horses, non-New York breds, were also parts of those fields. Importantly, our revenue is up in spite of the decline in handle and proration issues with NYRA, and that's mainly because of a tremendous increase in performance in the first quarter of Racino World's Resort. So January, February, March, our revenue from the race, the VLTs, was up by about 46%. And Gene Coots, the person from Account Temps who's been filling in for the CFO duties, did a regression study for us and believes that we could, if the improvement at Racino World Resorts continues on this trend, that we could be getting something like $430 per machine per day, which could bring in an additional $2 million. And it's not something, I don't think you can hang your hat on that. There could be a weather event that would cause us to lose days of racing, but it does show a very strong trend, a trend that is probably related to the people managing the casino know how to manage their free play. They have learned how to raise minimums on machines on certain days to get the most out of those machines, and therefore they're performing tremendously. And the other difference is that we are at a higher receipt rate. It's gone from 0.1% to 0.0125. and as of October 28th would go up to 0.015. And does anyone have any specific questions?
Well, the one thing, Tracy, mm-hmm. I know the board's been contacted by NYRA about the roughly $1.2 million mm-hmm. in overpayment. Is that reflected in the budget?
No, that is not reflected in the budget.
All right.
It has not been set aside. It was something that was discussed at the January meeting, but at that time we had not been notified of NYRA officially, and there was some confusion because we had been told by the acting CFO that they did not expect that they were going to ask us for that money. And so, you know, with that information plus the lack of any formal request for it, there was not money set aside.
So I guess that, you know, at this point, I am reaching out to NYRA. I want to get the facts as to how how that dollar amount was calculated, and then we'll move forward in whatever direction we need to move after that. But if there's any questions on the fiscal statement or any of the other issues, now would be the time.
I'm sorry. What you're going to reach out to NYRA and that, I mean, for further clarification.
Well, I think.
What manner?
Well, first of all, I'd like to know how it was calculated, how they came up with that dollar amount, and based on their calculations, and also I'd like to get the opinion as if we have to pay it back, how. And so there are just a lot of unanswered questions out there that I'd like the answers to before we proceed in any direction at this point.
I mean, we have gotten a notice that the money is in, it's out there. They haven't asked us. They've sent us a letter to that extent. No one. We haven't seen the letters. Anyone? Do you have the letter?
I didn't bring the letter with me.
I thought that we responded. I thought that we did a response that said that, for the following reasons, we don't think that we should have to pay this, and that, I mean, it would seem to me that if you got a disputed bill, it would be the fund's position to negotiate that or to examine it. So I don't know that, Commissioner Albertine, all due respect, I don't know that you have to take that task on. It would seem to me that through the fund's executive director and the council, that they should be able to take that and get it resolved.
I just want to mention that Kyle did fashion a letter, which I shared with everyone. I shared it with the commissioner, and he was taking it under review and advised me not to send the letter, and that's why it did not get sent.
So at this stage, we haven't responded to NYRA one way or the other.
I'm reaching out to NYRA to get, we need the facts. In other words, how did this come about? How'd you calculate that dollar amount? And based on that, then we'll come up with a course of action.
Well, again, it seems to me like that's the fund's bill, and it should be handled inside the fund. I think that the fund has counsel to do that. You have an executive director to do that. I mean, I don't see why we shouldn't be privy to any discussion that goes on about it. I'm not trying to take anything away from you,
No.
saying that the fund has many times had issues like that in the past 30 years, and it seems unusual that the fund wouldn't deal with it themselves, to me. Does anybody else have an opinion about that?
I want to add in that, I mean, NYTB worked or commented, I guess, on Kyle's legal response and reviewed it ourselves. And we were in support of what Kyle's response was for the fund, which at that point was outlined for all the reasons that the fund most likely would not need to pay that money back. So I guess my point is there's been a lot of legwork already done the last 2 or 3 months, I guess, when all of this started. So maybe that should be accounted for when you're looking into what we're going to go do here. Kyle, you still have that response that you...
Yeah, the letter's here that I...
But that did not go to NIAR, right?
No.
Is there any, and I guess I'd direct this to Kyle, is there any timeframe that we need to respond to them by, or can we give the commissioner the ability to reach out to them? I mean, you got to come back to us before we make any decisions. I mean, is there any timeframe? I mean, I thought we were in a hurry to get that in, and that's why I think a lot of us were pushing to respond to it. But if there's not a timeframe...
At the time, there was a hurry because they were about to have a board meeting, but then I didn't get approval to send it. The board meeting passed, and then the urgency seemed to pass.
There's no timeframe to send the letter in particular. I mean, it's not as if a litigation has been commenced, and we're in a position of being in default, so it's not like that. This is, but having said that, you know, they've made a demand, and if the fund's position is that it's not owed, then I think the fund should do that for two reasons. Number one, you know, you need to set out your position. You always start positionally. You know, this is our position, and then you go from there. And number two, you know, NIRA is going to want to know what our position is. You know, if our position is that it's not owed, then how they got to the calculation seems to me to be not that relevant. If we don't owe it, we don't owe it.
But. Right. But I think in fairness to everybody, to the fund, to NIRA, to everybody involved, you know, I for one, don't feel comfortable with the facts. Let's get the facts in front of us and find out how they calculated it and how this all came about. And I think based on that, we can make a determination.
I think it's a very academically interesting situation, and I agree. You know, you just got the reins in your hands, and you want to make sure you got it all square before you know, really go forward. I think that's prudent. But the two points that came from Kyle's draft letter, which hasn't gone out, but which perhaps some of it will get recast and go out. The two points that I thought were really compelling were, number one, the fund is basically a pass-through agency, or entity, I should say. We don't audit NIRA's books. We don't audit New York City OTB's books when they existed. I mean, we get money from like 10 or whatever it is, different entities, and we don't do that. We wouldn't even be close to having the manpower to do that. So we have to rely on their numbers. If they made a mistake, I don't know if this is a point of law or common sense, if they made a mistake and we're a pass-through agency, I don't see our culpability. Now, that can get settled by any number of ways, but that's just the common sense part of it. I mean, what if every entity came back and said, you know what, we didn't calculate this right. Vernon Downs, Batavia, all them. What are we going to do? Say, oh yeah, you can just have the money. So that's number one. And number two, and I think this is another point which I didn't think of, but Kyle did. We have certain things we got to do with the dough. Breeders Awards, Owners Awards, Stallion Awards, ads and, or promo and admin. The only elective thing we have, I mean, we could vary the way we cut the pie,
sure.
But the only elective we have is Purse Enrichment. And as Kyle pointed out, in the time that they were talking about, which was several years, that they overpaid us, allegedly overpaid us, we voluntarily gave them more money than they were asking for in Purse Enrichment. Now I realize it might be apples and oranges, but it's all dollars. And it's also good faith. And I think to come after a small public benefit corp like this for their error is ridiculous. I mean, this is the kind of thing Charlie Hayward got fired for, and no one in the state got fired for it. So now the state runs NIRA, and they're coming after us for this money. I think it's ridiculous. Now, that's plain talk, and I realize you have to be politically correct, and you have to deal with it in a proper way, but in reality, there's no way we can do it. What are they going to do, put a penalty on us and deduct it over the next 30 years from stuff we should be getting? I mean, that's a whole other position. I don't know that the law would entitle them to do that. We can only carry forward $75,000 a year. How are we ever going to pay that money? So I'm sure they're covering their rear ends because someone screwed up and they discovered it, so now they got to go ask for the money. But, you know, it's just not, it's not realistic. And I think it's important how we do respond, because it sets a precedent for every other entity that we get money from. All 10 of them, or 12 of them, or 15 could come after us. We'd be out of business. What if we were in litigation with all of them? This fund would just fold up. The industry would be severely impacted. It's not the way it should be. So thank you for listening.
Well, we've had numerous audits since then, including the state audit themselves, every year. And there's never been a hint that there was anything wrong at all. They've checked our revenue. They've checked our disbursements. We've had our own independent auditor verify the state's work. The state has come back and even audited us again, you know, just as we want to audit you guys. So they looked at all the money and all the revenue streams. No one has ever said that we were overpaid.
I think I just should mention here that in the last audit that the state controller did, they did criticize the fund for not verifying the revenue we get. But they said they had verified the revenue we received, and they concluded that we did receive all the revenue properly owed us. And that's the state controller, who has tons of auditors. We have, you know, usually just one person in an accounting mm-hmm. office. And so we have been taking steps to make sure that we are getting the revenue we're owed by putting various statutes for, you know, this one affects the OTBs and this statute affects this. But the actual fact of it is we don't have the staff to verify all the revenue that we get. I mean, just verifying breakage on any individual could take a whole other accounting staff to verify something like that. And they don't let us see the inside of their books, really.
So I want to make one more point that my board is asking me, is that, you know, the fund's mission to go along with what Dr. Blumau was stating is for breeders, to the benefit of breeders. And if we were to utilize funds from today going forward and years out to pay for years back of what was potentially overgiven to us, we'd be negatively affecting all the people going forward that are in an industry that were not, had nothing to do with the responsibility of what happened yesterday. So I'm not sure that that's actually fair to go do, and it definitely doesn't go along with the mission of what the fund is to, you know, promote breeding here in the state going forward. So if we're going to penalize people in forward for things that happen in careers, it doesn't necessarily make sense to me for anyone.
All right. Any more discussion on that item or the budget itself?
Are we going to, I mean, are we resolved on this, that we're going to continue with, we're going to send the letter to NYRA? Are we going to deal with, I mean, are you going to deal with it yourself personally?
Yes.
I'm just asking a couple of hard questions here.
Sure.
They're not pleasant, but I want to know what we're doing about it. And I want to know what our response is fiduciarily to our board.
Well, at this point, I want to reach out to NYRA and get their response to my questions, which are, you know, how was this calculated, and, you know, how did this come about? It's basically what I want to know. At this point, quite frankly, I don't know. And I don't think I'd be doing my job if I just walked through this and said, that's fine. You know, this is the direction we're going.
No one's suggesting that at all.
No, I know you're not. But I'm just telling you where I'm coming from on this. I'm trying to get the answers. And for myself, but for the whole board. I'd like to send that communication out. I intend to send that communication out and see what kind of a response back we get.
My only question you would be timing this board, you know, once you get a response, I assume that you're going to come back to us. The board's going to have to discuss what happened.
Right.
Is there a timing issue? I mean, I know that we immediately tried to react to that because there was, I think there was a 60-day thing in there originally. Is there anything that time-wise?
Not that I'm aware of. That's not to say there isn't. But I'm not aware of any timing issues. And that kind of plays into there's a couple other things as we work down the agenda. I wanted to suggest that, you know, we'd leave the door open for a special meeting. I think, again, without getting ahead of ourselves, there's an MOU that we're going to talk about here in a minute. I anticipate that that'll be happening within the next month. You know, if we can get together with a special meeting to deal with the MOU issue, hopefully I will have heard back from NYRA. We'll have a solid ground to stand on to decide whatever decision we're going to make on that issue. So there's a couple things that are going to come into play as we work down through this agenda, as well as setting the agenda for three more meetings through the course of the year. So again, don't want to cut anybody off. If anybody's got any more discussion on the NYRA issue, happy to listen. But my intention right now is to reach out to NYRA and get a response back from them. And as far as the other issue, the fiscals, as Tracy laid them out, anybody have a issue or concern with that?
You're talking about accepting the financial?
Yes.
As presented.
If no further discussion, I'd accept them.
I make a motion to accept the financial.
Second. Motion made and second. All in favor on item 3? Opposed? Carried. Next item on the agenda is continue the support staff month to month. Again, as I just more or less outlined, I'd make the recommendation that we go month to month at this point, in light of the fact that, you know, we are dealing with the Gaming Commission, the Office of Racing Promotion, and the fund. We're all working to put together an MOU going forward. So I would entertain a motion just to, at this point, go month to month.
Can we discuss that at all, sir?
Sure, absolutely.
Through various circumstances, the checks come to me every week to sign. So I get to see the checks. We're spending about $44,000 or $4,400 a week for two individuals to do this work through their agency. That's over 200, everybody can add here and multiply.
It's $187,000 a year for those two people, and also occasionally bringing in Kathy Franzoni.
So it's about $200,000 a year is what we're spending on this deal.
Do office work.
And that's money that, I mean, we've been in this position now for over a year. We have not had a financial officer because of we got a guy who wasn't capable of doing the job. He left us in terrible straits. I mean, a terrible mess that we haven't gotten straightened out until just in the last 2 months. Just found the bottom of it, and we're not in a good position to continue doing that. It's wasteful. It makes no sense. We our bylaws call for a financial officer. I mean, I don't understand why we aren't filling the position.
Well,
or at least interviewing and asking people. We should be moving forward on this. We have not had a financial officer for over a year, sir.
Well, and I don't dispute that. My position would be that, knowing that there will be an MOU in hopefully within the month, just to keep things moving forward in the interim, if we could just go month to month, and with the idea that sometime in the next 4 to 6 weeks we would have a special meeting to do just what you're suggesting.
Are we talking about the memo of understanding, or
yes,
is this a good time? Who's negotiating? I mean, who's talking about that?
Well, we'll be talking. I'll be talking with
you said that you're going to have something in 30 days, a proposal, or, I mean, what is...
Yeah.
That you're going to present to them? Okay, I mean, I didn't know there was a conversation going on about it, to be honest with you.
I haven't... Today's the first I've heard of an MOU.
I didn't know there was one being worked out. I know that I had seen one, like, in January, but then Rob Williams told me, forget everything you've been told. And then since then, I don't know what's going on as far as an MOU.
Well, we're trying to work one out.
This is a little frustrating. The fund board has operated for many years under the form that we have. And if we're going to negotiate, the fund needs to be involved in it. And I'm not trying to take anything away from you, Commissioner, but I'm just saying that we're not stupid, and we do want to be involved in what's going on. We're not going to get jammed with this thing and expect to just lay down and take it. We need to be part of the negotiation. Kyle is our attorney. He should be the one who's negotiating it on behalf of the board. No disrespect to you. He can work with you or whatever, but we should be involved in this thing. The fund board. You're the chairman. You're the head of the deal. But the fund board, the members who sit here, voluntarily, I might add, right, year after year, should be involved and kept up to speed. To say that we're going to have something in 30 days after 3 months of no action at all seems to me like it's, I hope that we do see something, but I would certainly think that we'd get a lot more done if we were involved in the negotiation with it. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Fair enough. So, on this item four, we're talking about continuing support for the employees month to month.
I don't really have an option. I mean, we need to keep this going, right?
Yes.
Well, and that's what we're talking about on this item. So, if
you need a motion to do it,
right.
I'll make a motion to do that, but I think that we also need to kind of have some kind of end to it, whether it be 60 days, that it's got to be revisited. Or
Again, I would like to be able to bring back to the board at a special board meeting at least a proposal you could all entertain for an MOU where we could resolve the issue long term.
I think Joe's concern is, and I think probably everyone here shares, is that we don't want to get an MOU 5 days before a board meeting and then try to sit down here. This isn't a committee meeting, we're supposed to and expect to take action on it. I think that if there's a small committee, you as the chair, and then the finance committee and Kyle or whoever look at it ahead of time to come in and make a recommendation to the full board, that's probably the way it should happen. So from a month-to-month standpoint, I would like to see it have some kind of 60 days that forces kind of the issue that either they got to come back to us in 60 days to keep going month-to-month or have an MOU worked out.
Well, maybe it should be to the next board meeting.
I was going to say, we could go month-to-month to the next board meeting. But again, I would like to have a special board meeting in advance, if we can. Have a special board meeting in advance of the next regularly scheduled meeting to resolve some of these issues. But if you want to amend this to going month to month to the next regularly scheduled board meeting, months.
I don't think that the month to month thing is as big of an issue as making sure that, you know, there's other people involved in this MOU prior to. You know, I personally don't have time, and getting this stuff a day and you know, no disrespect, Tracy, stuff dribbling in over the last week coming in, I haven't had time to review a lot of this, you know. So I would rather see some people assigned to work on this so that, you know, they can come in and be part of this process and make a recommendation. So I mean, that's my view. I don't know where the rest of the board is.
But do I have a motion to go month to month here on item four?
I'll make that motion. Yes, I'll make the motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the $15,000 for the six scholarships. I don't know if anybody's got any questions on that. There's three schools that are chosen. Two students from each school, $2,500 apiece. Tracy, if you want to elaborate on that?
Well, all of the colleges are eagerly awaiting news that it's been approved. I told them that I expected it would be approved. We did it last year, and they just had a fantastic group of students who earned these scholarships. And I think the board can be very proud for helping to further their education. And hopefully we'll have six great people from last year and six new ones this year to join them at some point and as part of the industry in the state.
Any comments on that?
We've been doing this for quite a long time. It's been very successful. I think it helps a lot of kids. It's a great thing to have.
I'll make the motion.
I'd second it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is funding promotions update. Go ahead, Tracy. I was just going to, if you want to walk down through the five items there.
The total spend ask is $317,000, and that leaves us somewhere between $70,000 and over $200,000 left in promotion for the rest of the year, depending on, it's $70,000 if we only get as much money as we project for this year. If we get, you know, if we continue on track with the VLT money, it would be more like over $200,000 left in promotion at the end of the year. And, you know, we can track that and see, if, like, as we head into the latter half of the year, whether we need to do more promotion for our stallions or to get more broodmares in the state. You know, we can see how the spending and the revenue is flowing. But for now, I'd like $317,000 for the spend for the NIRA spend, which includes TV spending on Summer at Saratoga, which is on NBC and NBC Sports. Spending online in the newspaper for the Daily Racing Form, spending online and in print for the Blood Horse, as well as things like the Saratoga 150 book, the annual program book that they hand out here at the Hall of Fame, the Eclipse Awards. We do a few ads in Trainer Magazine, a few ads in the Horseman's Quarterly, which is almost exclusively given out to or prescribed or subscribed to by trainers, and then also a radio spend of up to $25,000. It was successful, I think, last year, and I say up to because if we have a Triple Crown contender as we did last year, then I did some additional spending on ESPN radio. And if we have a Triple Crown contender this year, then there's so much more heightened interest. And we have the New York Bred Showcase Day, Big Apple Showcase Day, is 1 week before the Belmont this year. So some of that cachet is spilling over onto the fund because of that event. My request is for $317,000. It covers, that amount also covers spending that I've been doing as we've gone along.
We've changed the policy or funding for promotion so that NYTV doesn't do any promotion.
Right, they're not doing any print. Last year of the $300,000, they said they would take $85,000 and do print. I take them at the word that that's what they did. So that's come off his table and is now in this pool.
Jeff, you're kind of an expert on the promotions. Does that sound right to you? Is that all going well?
The fund doing all the print and advertising?
Yeah.
Well, that's what this plan, I'm assuming, is really all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So out of all the this effort, how much will be utilized for the remainder? How much has been used so far this year?
About 9,000 for, well, of the 140 for NIRA, 10 has been used. So it's like 130 for the rest of the year. And of the Blood Horse and year to date, I think we've spent about 3,000 or 4,000. DRF year-to-date spend has been $9,900. Saratoga 150 Book 2000, Thoroughbred Daily News, that's in probably a high estimate. We take adlets in their an online subscription magazine. They do race results from all over the world. And when a New York bred performs in either a stakes race in New York or an open company stakes race outside of our borders, we do a little ad. It's the ads either say, learn why New York breds, learn why it's like smart to get with the program or something like that, and you click on it and you come to an ad on our homepage, and in red it has the same headline. So you click on that and then you go to the page where we have all our awards spelled out so people can learn through two clicks what our awards offer as far as owner awards, breeder awards, stallion awards.
So how much has been spent so far?
We average $1,200 a month. It's been
total. So you're adding it up, so roughly $30,000 or so?
No, it would probably be $18,000 for the whole year.
For so far?
No, not so far. For the whole year, it'll be $1,800. We've spent less than 5 months. We probably spent $7,200. But I know the spend will go up over the summer. There'll be more.
I'm talking about all advertising.
All advertising.
From January to May, how much is the fund spent in print now and then?
About $30,000.
$30,000.
Yep.
So, and we're going to spend $300 and something for the remainder of the year.
Right. Well,
so the big ad, my point to all this is that much of this promotion is about to begin. So it's hard to, that's in my answer to you.
Right. Well, we didn't have a board meeting early on to do, NIRA wanted the spending. We're supposed to start it in March.
Tracy, is part of that the budget going to include additional spending on the new showcase day, June 1st?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we would be a sponsor. That's included in the NIRA spend, where we would be a sponsor of both showcase days.
So the point is that all of the real promotion is about to begin for the remainder of the year versus what's happened today.
Is this a typical spend? I mean, is this the way a promotion would be typically? In other words, January to April, May is a slow time, and then...
Well, January, February, March is pretty slow. In those times, like in March, the trail to the Derby starts, and then you want to start getting your advertising out there. Early in the year, I was promoting our stallions, trying to encourage people to stay at home and go to New York Stallions or come from other states and go to New York Stallions. So that's kind of depends on what's happening in that year. And also January, there are still broodmare sales, so we point trying to recruit people to bring their broodmares to the state.
So that, I mean, basically you've taken over what Jeff used to do.
Yep.
So, Jeff, that seems realistic, isn't it, that the first five months of the year, you wouldn't typically spend a lot of money. The big money comes into the summertime.
That's
into
correct.
The fall, correct?
That's correct. I mean,
is it safe to say that we're on the same par?
Yeah. Well, we're on the cusp of, we've got the yearling sale coming up in July. I mean, we promote heavily for that, and. Part of, now that we're under the Office of Racing Promotion and Development, I think when you promote racing as a good thing in New York, like every stable, it just makes sense to have New York breds in the stable. And it's such a different atmosphere than it was years ago, where it's not just the money, it's the quality that's out there of the New York breds, that people don't just think, I'm going to buy a New York bred and win a few New York bred races. They buy a New York bred, and very often because they expect to perform well on any stage, anywhere.
So to answer your question, they asked me, it's a cycle, and
right.
There's a few certain parts of the year where there's a bigger spend. The spring during two-year-old sales, because we're trying to promote demand for work with the sale. The summer, we're yearling sales, Tracy was talking about. And then in the fall, when people start to make breeding plans and around the Keeneland sales time in November and in the breeding season. So it's like this, which goes along with what plan is today.
So, I mean, this is a reasonable plan, then?
I think all of these items that Tracy's outlined, many of them we've done in past years.
Yep.
There's not much new or different necessarily, other than the new showcase day. So it's common. Her plan is very common to what the fund and what NYTB used to do for print and online. It's print and online. These are the same buys I used to make years ago, and then the radio stuff and the additional money that Tracy's spending is things that she had spent in other years. So the point is that this is a plan that this fund board has seen before in other years.
It also reflects the fact that I haggled with NYRA, so they came down on their original price. DRF reflects a very steep discount, which he doesn't really want me to say at a public meeting, but what the heck? Who's going to listen? How many people listen to this recording? But it's about a 40% discount. So try to get more bang for the buck.
I'm going to call him right away.
You let the cat out of the bag.
Uh-oh. Well, as long as next time I see Hal Moss, he's not armed.
So, any more discussion on item six?
I just want to point out also that the sponsorship or the insurance premium for the Big Apple Triple, $10,000 insurance premium. So if a horse wins it, the insurance company pays the $250,000. Sponsorships in support of retired racehorses and our farmland preservation. When, like the Finger Lakes retirement program, we'll have an annual event. We'll do a spend there and get, you know, we'll have one of our banners up at their event. Acknowledgement in a program, and it's a way to, while the fund doesn't have the money to support all the horses that need supporting, we're encouraging people to on their own support them, and also helping spread the word. And I think New York State should get credit everywhere for what they're doing with the not just the fund, but in a very big way, the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen have this Take Two program, which is a very big spend to encourage people to use thoroughbreds in the show ring. And what they found is when they put up money for thoroughbreds in the show ring, they get entries in that show ring for thoroughbreds. And it's helping to create demand in a market that for many years has been pretty closed to thoroughbreds. Everybody has wanted a warm blood. But the thoroughbred, there's nothing like a good-minded thoroughbred. My horse, I used to take camping in the Adirondacks. He was fantastic.
I've been told by people in the show horse industry that that's very successful, that the idea of having restricted classes for thoroughbreds and the funding that the horse show associations are getting through NYRA and NTRA and us and different people is really being noticed. And I think that's what that was the objective, was to put it out there that we're taking care of our horses, we're looking for another career for them, and we're willing to invest our own money in it. And I think it's working. From what I hear, it's very popular.
I'm going to talk about the Take Two program when we get
to it. Also, I just want to mention support of agricultural events that promote agriculture awareness and preservation of farmland. Recently, I got a request from Saratoga County as having one of their Sunday on the Farm events.
Sure.
And they asked for such a small spend, I had to say yes, but I wished I could have given them more, because it's something we can do in any region of the state where they're promoting agriculture. I mean, one of our missions is to preserve our farmland. So, you know, we'll spread the word that if people are having events, the fund can help support them.
All right. So, again, item six, if there's no objection, we'll bundle items 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, just one vote, if that's all right. Nobody has a problem with that. We'll bundle the whole thing. If I've got a motion on item six.
I'll second.
Motion made and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, next thing on the agenda, the promotional update. Jeff, I'll defer to you on that.
This document that Tracy included here, this will take us from January through the end of April. All of the events that NYTB is, or all the items NYTB is been in talk with our contractor to fund. Start with the top here. Back in January, we published our stallion register for the year, which was distributed across the country here, different outlets, and to the members and breeders of the state, stallion owners. This issue actually was greatly improved from other years because we're utilizing the Blood Horse as a publisher of this product, and they included a lot of data that we have included in stallion registers before, so it was an upgraded product, in my opinion, and I think it came out very well. In addition to that, we actually updated our website, Stallion Register, which is online on nytbreeders.org. And in doing so, we added many new features that we never had before for stallions here in the state, in terms of free Trunix matings, which is a very, very, very popular thing for stallions. So if someone wanted to utilize that, those functions, they can do so for free on the website. We have different sire lists, sales lists, different categories for breeders to really pick through in terms of our stallions in the state. And actually, there's some functions, really neat things where you can compare and contrast stallions from each other, from both in-state and out. And so the point is that we've invested a lot on the website online with the stallion register, and it's seemed very, very good feedback based on that. Our New York Breeder magazine has continued to progress, and I'm very proud of where it's come over the last 5 years. We produced issues for every month from January to through actually through May, which has just been published. And this is at national markets. It's a vibrant magazine now, and it's probably the single most important promotional tool that I think New York breeders have. And anyways, it's been published every month, and it again, it's something that we've invested and improved over the years. We do a weekly e-newsletter that's been sent on Fridays, and this list is amazing. Every time I present here, it grows. We're up to 4,500 recipients of that, and that's something that people opt into themselves. So these are people that are interested in the program. It goes out every Friday talking about New York bred related news, sales and racing. Our big tool is the website that we do, nytbreeders.org, and the information we provide on it. We've covered all aspects of New York breeding, racing, sales, industry news. We've actually published over 50 articles in these last few months. Original content articles with over 200 photos that are purchased for every single New York bred that wins in the state. We provide every single New York bred that's entered across the country, the results of those horses across the country, those that win in New York State we profile, we also provide every New York bred that wins its race replay video on the website. So there's a lot of content and effort and time that's spent online, and I think it's fair to say that the website is nationally renowned for a regional program. We had our New York Bred Divisional Awards ceremony on April 15th at Saratoga National, which again was a sellout event this year, and based on the feedback I received, it was another very good evening. We had hosts from NYRA as our racing analyst, Richard Migliori and Jason Blewett. The event went very, very well. I know some of the board here attended. That occurred on April 15th. It was our marquee event for the year for breeders. Last page here, we continued our educational promotions that we do with the Farm Bureau Equine Committee and Ag Alliance, something that NYTB takes a part of, where we're providing educational tools and media across the state via the Farm Bureau's Equine Committee. We became a founding member of the Saratoga 150 that I'm sure you're familiar with now, that is kicked off of the 150th anniversary of the racetrack here. NYTB's contributed as a founding member. and will be partaking in various events with the foundation. And Take Two, which we just heard about a little briefly a minute ago, is something that NYTV chartered and started with Naira Naifa last year. And I can tell you that it began in New York State, and the census was is that in the horse jumper and hunter show world, the thoroughbred was at one point over 20 years ago a commodity, and it was a high profile eventer and beyond the hunter jumpers, and they were used in that capacity off of the track. And over the last 20 years, the decline in demand for the thoroughbred in that arena is completely depleted, to the point at which many aren't being used. And what this program did a year ago, the thought was is that if we can create a demand for thoroughbreds to be back in the show community, we could have another outlet for horses that are retiring off the track. That was the whole consensus to it. And we started it last year. We kick-started it with the Skidmore Horse Show and the Saratoga Horse Show. And it instantly caught attention to the point of which, within a year, there's 14 different states that have copied this model of Take Two and have used the brand, the name, that the New York associations have started, and it's become a pretty very big thing. And this year, we, again, chartering it here for the New York State shows, which is at Skidmore, and more importantly, it's grown to Hits and Saugerties, which is a nationally renowned double A-rated show. We're going to distribute about $12,000 at the Saratoga show to thoroughbred-only divisions. So if you have a thoroughbred, it shows against other thoroughbreds here in New York, and I'll tell you, it's, as Joe mentioned, it's caught fire, and it's become very popular, and it's a very good thing to promote. From thoroughbreds and off the track. And the last thing is NYTB actually has a scholarship that's been around for over 30 years. And we're doing it once again on Naira's College Day in the summer. We're going to distribute $5,000 to one recipient from a New York State school. And we actually closed, it's been going on since January. We've been receiving applications, and we have over a dozen that we're going to select down to one within the next 30 days. So those are the updates from the first quarter, I guess, of 2013.
Well,
I would like to just comment on Jeff Canizzo's report and NYTB's activity in general. First of all, the three key words for me are promo, incentive, and alliance. And your promotion, along with through your alliance with other groups like the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen, and the fund contributes as well, has made a true incentive for these thoroughbreds. And what one would hope is that, I mean, this leveraged money will continue to grow so that the off-the-track thoroughbred will have a true value and a growing place in the show world, and will eventually probably bust out of the thoroughbred-only class, which will go a long way to keeping PETA at bay and to keeping the breeding industry alive and vital. And back to the alliance thing for a minute, something that I think we should say at every meeting is that the alliance that you personally were the head of, which included the Farm Bureau and every other equine organization I can think of, standardbreds in the state, to show the economic impact in that paper that came out that you guys put out last year. That's huge. And that's getting the message across, hopefully, to the general public, to our lawmakers, and to certainly the rest of the country, that we here in New York are serious about breeding, and we're going to stick together and try to, you know, continue to improve our product and keep the farmlands vital. So, at any rate, that's not on the dry agenda sheet here, but that's a really important thing that you personally have spearheaded at NYTB as Doug's leadership role. And, you know, I talked again about alliances, and one of the troubling things about the Naira problem with the money is that we have a great relationship with Naira other than that situation, and hopefully you'll be able to come to some kind of good agreement. And NYTB has for years had the special contract with the fund. And I think, again, it's one of those hand-in-glove things that, working together as an alliance, we're very effective, because you can do things that the fund board can't do, and vice versa. So I hope that will continue in my speech.
And just to add to your speech, the study that Jeff and the others did, we ended up turning it into this ad. The fund, we mean Business for New York State. It's in the packets you have, the DRF reader insert that we did on March 2nd. So we want the people reading about our stallions, sure, and all we have to offer to also know that we're part of the equine industry in New York. And because of the study that was done, it made it very easy for us to do an ad that no one could assail as being based on fluff or myth. It was based on a very recent study.
Yeah.
So thank you.
That was well done, Jeff.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to mention, there's another handout here that I'm not going to go through to time, but this was an analysis that I worked on the last month or so in regards to Breeders Awards from last year. And Christine deserved much of the credit for providing all the data that went into this. I essentially massaged this to put it on paper in a presentation. I'm just giving it to you as a takeaway, because there's a lot of data in here, and maybe this in the future months could be talked about at a later point if there's questions out of it. But essentially, it's a look at all of 2012, where awards from this fund were earned in terms of breeders at various racetracks and by race condition. And it starts at the highest level and goes down to the very granular level. I think that there's some valuable information in there that maybe you'd find interesting, and I just wanted to point that out, that's in your packet. And then the last thing that I'll mention that's not pertinent to NYTV's work with the fund, but some things that we're working on legislatively. There's a few bills that we're involved with that relate to the fund. We're seeking to extend the fund caps for breeders, admin, and promotions. That's been introduced in both the Senate and Assembly. There's bills that have been referred to race and wagering committees. And again, that bill is an extender that we've done for 3 years that goes along with, I'm not sure the number, 50 some odd other racing related bills that get extended every year. So we're seeking to do that so that Breeders' Awards can be paid up to 65%. And then the only other bill that we have in progress is the purse enrichment bill, which would essentially allow the racetracks utilize purse money outside of restricted races for New York Reds. And if you remember, this has been talked about since I've been involved 5 years. It seems like that's finally seeking some heat to move forward, both in the Senate and Assembly. And the gist of it is that it would give the fund, along with the tracks, more flexibility on how they utilize the purse enrichment that's this board dictates to both of the racetracks. I wanted to mention those for the board's information, that those are in progress from NYTV.
So those are essentially your two key pieces of legislation?
Yes. If you want the numbers, I can actually tell you them right now. The fund caps bill, the Senate bill 4750, sponsored by Senator Bonestein, and Assembly bill 6939, sponsored by Assemblyman Pretlow. And then the purse enrichment bills, our Senate 2901, sponsored by Senator Marchione, and the matching assembly bill is sponsored by Assemblyman Pretlow again, which is 7156.
All right, did you get that, Jeff? All right.
I had one.
Sure.
One question on our legislative agenda. Did the issue of the enrichment money split between NYRA and Finger Lakes, has that gotten any movement? Have we studied that? Have we ever tried to negotiate a a way to work with that in a better way.
That is this bill.
That is that bill. That's in that bill.
Though the 60-40 split is not, and maybe that's something Dave, we have Dave Brown from the Finger Lakes here, and it, last year when we were talking about this, that was something that the Finger Lakes Horsemen were not in support of, removing that percentage component of that. So last year we worked out an arrangement to have the language that we have now, but it still calls for a 60-40 split.
And, but that's only if the board, fund board decides that it wants to give purse enrichment, correct?
Correct.
Could the fund board decide that if it was going to give purse enrichment, but say, for example, but you've got to add it to the purse levels of New York Red Races so that they would be closer to open company? Can they do that?
The reason this bill was done, the way it's worded, is that it's very simple. It takes the word restricted and slashes it out so that it states that the money has to be used by tracks in any race for New York.
But does it change the split? Does it give us more latitude on the split?
No.
NYRA doesn't need money. Finger Lakes does. We want to give more money to Finger Lakes. We can't without giving more money to NYRA.
No.
Because so it doesn't change that.
Because Finger Lakes didn't support that change.
It's unfortunate.
I just want to make a quick comment on the very thorough analysis that you've done. I did go through it a little bit. And one of the things that just jumped out at me was Mr. Dave Brown, your companions, like on the second or third page, the two big pie charts. And you look at the one on the left, Breeders' Awards by racetrack. And Finger Lakes, this surprised me. Actually, 25% of the awards are earned at Finger Lakes. I figured, you know, Aqueduct 35, Elmont 27, Saratoga 13, they're about what I figured. But that's a big piece of the program. I think it's really important for us to, you know, I agree with Joe. It's unfortunate we can't get that 60-40 thing changed. NYRA doesn't need the money, Finger Lakes does. But just saying that Finger Lakes is a very important part of this program, because as my late friend Jerry Meyer, the horse trainer, used to say, the pyramid's only as tall as the base is wide, and that's our base. Got to have that floor. Can't let the floor fall apart.
Right.
Or the top comes down. Everyone wants their horses at Saratoga, but the reality is a lot of them end up at Finger Lakes. That's the way it is. So you got to keep those folks going, too. And it shows it right here.
So anybody else have anything they want to add to this?
I don't know how the, you know, I just think that we should continue to try to negotiate that thing so that it gives the fund more leeway in determining where we're going to send incentive money.
Well, I mean, we have Dave right here, so maybe...
Well, maybe Dave would like to... I mean, I don't know. Is it all
sure.
Right?
I don't know Dave. If it's appropriate for
I don't know if it's appropriate or not. I'm not going to put anybody on the
well,
spot.
No, but this is a discussion item, basically. And Dave, if you want to, for a brief comment.
The board felt, was concerned about that if the board was given... the 60-40 split was okay with us. We didn't want to get less than 60-40, and I think we felt that if the legislation said that the minimum would be 60% to Finger Lakes, like the board could, you know, could change the percentages as long as the minimum was 60%. That was okay with us, but we didn't want to lose our 60% because
right, you didn't want it to go to 50-50.
Financially, you know, we're not as strong as NYRA is, of course. And we were concerned that that the money might end up all going to NYRA.
Right.
It might not. Depends on the board. But I think we were concerned. We were happy with the 60%. If the legislation had said that the board has discretion between NYRA and Finger Lakes, however, Finger Lakes will never get less than 60%, we would all have been fine with that. But we didn't want to lose the 60% and have another board sometime later on decide that, okay, this money's all going to go to NYRA because it's whatever reason.
So you're saying that you would agree to a, you know, open that thing up and saying as long as Finger Lakes never got less than 60%, you'd sign off on something
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely.
So it's 60% floor is basically what he's saying.
We're giving, We're giving the...
That's already what the legislature...
That's what it is.
That's my point.
He means not less, because I think you're talking about having more latitude to maybe give 70% to Finger Lakes and 30 to NIRA, because you guys need the money and...
Yeah, but I think what he's saying is that you never know what the board could be in later years, and...
And so he wants a minimum, yeah.
I can see the point. I just, my only, why we bring that up every year is because we want to fund more races at Finger Lakes. And that's the glitch here. And it just seems to me that that ought to be a point that ought to be able to get negotiated somehow.
This is a year later with those same negotiations, and this is what we got.
That's what you got.
This is what we got.
Okay.
The over year, hearing.
Another year older and...
Yeah. The difference is now is that it's actually moving forward with whatever the new language.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, the last item on the agenda is just discussing the next meetings.
If you don't mind, Mr. Chair, if I might just say something. I don't typically speak at these meetings, obviously, but I need to have some direction from the board, because at the January meeting, I was told to, you know, represent the board in negotiations with the Gaming Commission. I reached out to the Racing and Wagering Board, which was still in effect at that point in time, for that purpose, and I never got a return call. I reached out again. I got a return call, which basically said, we'll let you know. And then that was it. I know that, I appreciate that there's been changes. I understand the massive changes that have taken place. But, I mean, I'm counsel to the fund, you know, until I'm told I'm not. And I have to represent the fund. And then this board, and I need to understand what my marching orders are in order that I can carry out my function. So what I would typically do is I would reach out to the Gaming Commission's counsel, which is what I plan to do unless I'm told otherwise. So I just want to be clear about that's what I'm going to do. If the board takes a different view, wants me to go a different course, I'll do whatever I'm directed to do, but in the absence of that, I just have to be clear so that everybody understands, you know, what my role is. If I don't know what my role is, then I can't properly serve the board. So I just want to put that out there. That's my intention. If people have other opinions, I'm happy to, you know, if I get other direction, I'm happy to take it. I just need to understand where I'm going.
Well, I guess at this point, you know, we're going to be making some major changes here, is to the way we function, not necessarily as a board, but the support to the board, whether it's council or otherwise. I guess you would be in the boat of working month to month, and over the course of the next month until we see how the MOU comes together and how it's going to function.
Let me just be clear. I'm not concerned about my status vis-a-vis the fund. That's not what I'm talking about. I serve at the discretion of the board. If the board wants to terminate me, that's fine. I have no issue with that. What I'm talking about is I need to have a clear direction from the board as to what my role is vis-a-vis those discussions and the negotiation of the MOU. Okay, that's what, at the January meeting, I was directed by the board to be involved in those discussions. And I intend to be involved in those discussions unless I'm told otherwise. That's kind of what I'm conveying here. I want to make sure that, and if we're happy, if you want to do this in executive session, we can do it in executive session. It'd certainly be appropriate for that. But I need to understand, just from my own, in order to carry out my role as counsel to the board, that we're all on the same page. Otherwise, I can't do my job. And it's really important that I understand what my direction is.
I don't know what kind of a response you're looking for. I mean, your job is to lend counsel to me and any of the board members at any given point in time. As we're working on several different issues, not the least of which is the MOU or the issue with NYRA.
Can I ask for an executive session? When anyone second a motion to it, I'll make a motion for an executive session. Anyone?
Sure.
All right, well, let's...
Excuse me, are you gonna, if you're going to do it, I have to turn it off.
I get that.
Okay.
But let us, let's deal with the last item on the agenda, take care of that first.
Okay.
So if you withdraw your motion, withdraw your second, we can move to this next item.
Okay, fine, by me, sir.
Last item on the agenda is the next meeting, the next set of meetings. We want to set three meetings up for the rest of the year. My recommendation would be we'll set one up in July, a meeting either in late August, September, and then the final meeting for the year at some point in the fall, November, December, somewhere in there. And then with the idea that certainly we can have a special meeting at any point in time. I would make the recommendation that we set up a meeting in July, and then another meeting either in late August or September, and then a final meeting of the year, you know, November, December, at the discretion of the board. I mean, if we could...
Those are the dates that we've typically had, I think, the calendar year meetings, right?
The August...
Oh.
That's it.
It sounds fine.
Right.
We ought to decide on the dates, that's all, so we can plan and and then stick to the dates once we make that.
Right. And in fairness to everybody, so everybody has a chance to look at their calendar, I would task Tracy with coming up with, you know, one or two dates in July, one or two dates in August, and then a couple of dates in the fall.
Can I just remind you that you have the state fair at the very end of August?
I'm very well aware of the state fair.
You did mention a meeting here for in late August, so maybe it better be, you know, maybe middle August or...
Well, we can't do it while the fair is running during that 12 days, but prior to or just after the fair. But again, I realize it's short notice to come up with a hard date right now. Invariably, you know, somebody will say, well, I can't make it. And,
so we'll circulate dates. And then
thank you. So anybody have a problem with that? All right. So at this point, we can entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Aye. Okay, motion's made and seconded to go into executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.